Hope of Christ be with you. Welcome to the final Friday of September, my friends. Oh, it's glorious. We have a number of visitors here looking at Hope College, maybe to make this a home. We want to welcome you to Hope. It's outstanding. We love that you're here, and we hope that you give us a second and a third look. There's just no place like Hope. I love it. If you're new, I want to invite you into the journey we're on in chapel this year through Paul's epistle to the Romans. I invite you to pull out your Bible beginning in chapter 2. We're going to read through chapter 16. Chapter 2, Romans. Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. For in judging others, you condemn yourselves because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. Do you imagine whoever you are when you judge others and yet you do them that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not know that God's kindness was meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impertinent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. For he will repay everyone according to their deeds. To the one who by patiently doing good seeks glory and honor and immortality, he'll give eternal life. While to those who are self-seeking, who obey not the truth but wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be anguish and distress for those who do evil. For the Jew first and also the Greek. But there will be glory and honor and peace for those who do good, for the Jew first and also the Greek. All those who have sinned apart from the law will perish apart from the law. And all those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law that are righteous in God's sight, but the doers of the law that will be justified. When Gentiles who do not possess the law do what the law requires, they, though not having the law, become a law unto themselves. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, to which their own conscience bears witness. And their conflicting thoughts will accuse or perhaps excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God, through Jesus Christ, will judge the secret thoughts of all. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We're working our way through Romans because it gives us a 2020 vision of reality. It gives us a vision of clarity about ourselves, about our culture, and above all, about God. This particular passage gives us a couple things of clarity about ourselves and about God. One of the things that I love about the vision of clarity it gives us about God is that God judges, but God judges without partiality. God is impartial. God doesn't make distinctions. God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't love this team more than that team. Before God, they're all the same. God is impartial. It gives us a vision of reality for ourselves that sometimes we make distinctions. We create binary dualities. We separate. We have favorites. We're partial. It's almost innate in us, isn't it? That kind of instinct to separate things into really clear-cut distinctions, good versus bad. I can see this in my son, who's a little guy. He's only 4. He doesn't know up from down, yet there's something in him that needs to know who's the good guy. Who's the bad guy? I take him to the Hope soccer game, and he says, "Daddy, which team is Hope?" They're the white team. "They're the good guys. Go Hope." "Daddy, who are the bad? Is that maroon team? Are they the bad team? Are they the bad guys?" I don't know what to say. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. Am I supposed to say, "Are they bad?" We sit on the couch and we watch the Tigers. Cabrera's up. Yeah. We're going to win the World Series. I claim it now. Heaven and earth. Not that God cares, but I think God cares. We're watching the Tiger game. Cabrera's up to bat. "Daddy, that's Cabrera. He's a good guy, isn't he?" "Yeah, he's a good guy." They're playing the Yankees. The Yankees are bad, aren't they? And I'm a Christian. Yes, the Yankees are bad. It's in us. We make these binary relationships all the time, good versus evil. And it can be fun. But it can also become infectious. We create these false dualities. We do this in the church all the time. There's traditional versus progressive. There is evangelical versus mainline. There's Protestant versus Catholic. There's hymn singers and people who sing off a screen. There's all these kinds of false distinctions we make in the church. And sometimes we make those even on campus. There's faculty versus administration. There is odd versus even, even versus odd. There's independent versus Greek, Greek versus independent. We make all these kind of binary distinctions, right? And it can be convenient. We make these distinctions because it gives us a sense of identity. And that identity is defined by who the other is. I'm not one of them, so I'm one of these. And there can be really positive impacts to that sometimes. Like the pull. The distinctions that are made between odd and even galvanize you to work hard, to sacrifice the friendships, the memories, the kinds of things that you have on a shared team. Those are good things when our distinctions kind of pull us together. But when distinctions falsely go sideways is when they become exclusive. When we've got a secret handshake and we're not going to teach anyone else. When people are left out and they're not invited to the party. And it's a terrible thing to walk by the party and know you're not invited. God doesn't make those kinds of distinctions when he looks at us. When God looks at us, he's impartial. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see the fun distinctions we make. He sees a people in need of his help. Because when God looks at us, he looks past the superficial. And he sees deep into the heart, deep into the soul. And before God, we're all the same. Which is why Paul says, don't judge others. Because when you judge others, you're condemning yourselves because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. No matter what false distinctions, what team or camp we find ourselves in, before God, we're all the same. So don't judge each other that way. God sees us all the same. This is what Paul is trying to call the Christians' attention to in Rome. There is conflict within this early church. And he names two binary groups. There is those that were both Christian, but one was Jewish, and one was Greek, a Gentile. The Jewish Christians were the inheritors of the law, the inheritors of the covenant promise. Long ago, God made a promise to Abraham that through his descendants, God would bring salvation into the world. God made a covenant promise, and whenever God makes a promise, God keeps that promise. The people of Israel were born, and those people inherited and carried forth generation after generation through faithfulness and unfaithfulness, God's covenant promise. They bore that promise in their own flesh. They were God's chosen people. They were special. They were on God's team. And some of these Jews, after Jesus was announced into the world, after Jesus living and dying and rising and reigning, heard the good news that Jesus was the Messiah, and they became Christians. These Jews now were Christians. But not only them, there were also Gentiles. People who were not Jewish, people who didn't know the secret handshake, people who had never been invited to the party before, all of a sudden got an invitation, and they went to the party. And when two groups who don't normally party together start partying together, sometimes there's some conflict. And in steps Paul. Paul is both a Jew and a Roman citizen. He's kind of a third culture kid. He belongs everywhere and nowhere at the same time. And he has sent as an apostle to all the nations to announce the good news that in Jesus, all are invited to the party, whether you're Jewish or Greek, whether you're male or female, whether you're slave or free, all people at all times and in all places in Jesus are invited to the party. Why? Because God makes no distinctions. God is impartial when he sees us, and when he sees us, he sees a people in need of him. And so God sent his own son, his own life, his own breath, his own world into this world. He took the time and put on flesh to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. His name is Jesus. God is impartial. And what God asks for us is not to judge each other with the kind of false distinctions that are sometimes fun and playful, but at their worst can become hurtful. What God calls for us is to respond with our hearts to Jesus. Because when you give your heart to Jesus, Jesus obliterates all the distinctions because Jesus is the distinction. In Jesus, there is no more slave and free. There is no more odd and even. There's no more faculty and administration. There's no maroon and orange. There's no Protestant or Catholic. There's no charismatic and reformed. There's Jesus. You're called to give your heart to Jesus. And when you do, we're set free from being beastly and ugly. One of my good friends, Tim Brown, tells the story of sitting in an airport terminal, and there are a mom and three girls, two older and one kind of younger, and they want to play a game with a kind of binary relationship called tag, called Beauty and the Beast. The two older girls are the beauty, and the younger girl is the beast. And as they're waiting for the airport, the girls start playing this game. And the two older girls are faster and quicker, and the little girl can't ever tag the others. She's the beast. And when she can't get to the older girl, she starts to cry. And she starts to yell out in the terminal, "I don't want to be the beast anymore. I don't want to be the beast anymore." And her mom comes, carries her up in her arms, and says, "You don't have to be the beast anymore." That's the gospel. God comes to us and says, if you give me your heart, not a dry legalism, not a traditionalism that's just going through the motions, if you give me your heart, your love, your life, you don't have to be the beast anymore. Jesus is God's beauty that shatters all our ugliness. And before God, in Jesus, we are all beautiful. We are all beautiful. We are all beautiful. Amen. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.